Happy belated Valentine's Day, everyone. Kita tunggu bentar untuk The Self Hug to join. Ini malam kita ngobrol-ngobrol sama The Self Hug. Kebetulan ini aku ada salah satu jurnalnya dari Self Hug. Hi Hug. Hai, kalian gimana kabarnya semuanya? Hai Kizzy.
Hai Paul. Hai semua.
How are you?
I'm good, very excited for today's talk.
Yeah, I love the self-hug. So ini malam nanti kita akan bahas lebih lanjut terkait self-love. Ini malam topiknya terkait Valentine's Day, karena kemarin baru Valentine's Day juga. So we're gonna be speaking with Kizzy dari the self-hug. The self-hug really promotes self-care practices termasuk journaling. Mungkin dari Kizzy bisa sedikit cerita, tell me about yourself and about self-hug, and let's talk about some self-love for the Valentine's Day.
Self-love is one of my favorite topics, so thank you so much. I'm very excited to speak with you all. Before that though, I wanna apologize. Mau minta maaf sebelumnya kalau bahasa Indonesia aku kurang bagus. I'm gonna try my best, but sometimes, you know, with psychology words and stuff, I'm not sure what it is in Indonesian. So please tell me juga so I can learn and improve my bahasa. But essentially,
sounds great.
So my background is in psychology, and at the moment I am working as a learning and development specialist at a tech startup, but I'm also the chief programs officer at the Self Hug. And the Self Hug, we are a company that promotes wellness and creating positive habits, and one of our favorite ways of doing that right now is through journaling. So I can also share a little bit about my journaling story. Essentially, I started journaling when I was 9 years old.
You're way ahead of the trend.
9 years old, just, you know, maybe I had a lot of thoughts.
Like writing in the diary when you're small.
Yeah. I got a diary and I just wrote, you know, how my day was and things like that. And I fell in love with it. And I've always stuck with it. I have a few of my
journals. Wow, collection.
I'm very excited to talk about how journaling helped me in my self-love journey as well.
Awesome. And maybe before we get started, tell us a bit more about the self-hug. Sebenarnya kan you guys jual journal, tapi it's much more than that juga ya. So tell us a bit more programmingnya, apalagi you're the head of programming. Programmingnya apa aja maksudnya gitu.
So this year we are focusing a lot on our community and events. So we have a lot of wellness events coming up. So please do come join the group hug community. We would love to see you there. And essentially our whole thing is about holistic wellness. So it's not just about mental health, physical health. It's also just talking about the eight dimensions of wellness. And I'm sure Nona also talks about the eight dimensions of wellness as well, right? So we recognize that, you know, you can't just focus on one thing. You have to, you know, improve or like work on all these different sides of wellness. And sometimes it's really hard to do that alone when you don't know what to do. So hopefully with this community and the events that we will have, it'll help you on your wellness journey.
And speaking of the eight pillars of wellness, the eight dimensions that you just mentioned, sebenarnya maybe you can tell us a bit more about that. Karena dari sisinya Nona, kita juga sangat agree dengan the holistic approach. I think menstrual wellness is also, hormonal wellness is also something that's really important that a lot of girls take for granted. Karena sebenarnya when we don't take care of our hormones, the rest of our body can go out of whack too. And I can share a bit terkait pengalaman aku when I didn't take care of my hormones, or vice versa, it's kayak chicken and egg problem. Waktu aku stress, aku gak taking care of my mind, my body, my hormones got messed up, I didn't get my period. And vice versa, kalau aku gak perhatikan aku punya siklus, then also that makes me go crazy. Like, why am I not getting my period? I feel bloated, I feel insecure. So is Sabinonia, I think menstrual wellness and hormonal wellness is a big part of overall wellness. But itu yang 8 dimensions that you mentioned, tell us a bit more, itu termasuk apa aja?
So I think a lot of people know, you know, there's physical wellness, there's mental wellness, because those two are the ones that are talked about the most. But there's also things like financial wellness. Mm-hmm. There's also things like environmental wellness, where, you know, sometimes we get affected by our environment. So if the things in our environment is not, you know, ideal or right, then it also affects how we live. Mm-hmm. And there's also things like occupational wellness, spiritual wellness, and social wellness. So spiritual wellness, yeah, essentially it's like you and your purpose. Social wellness is you and your relationships. And I think that that's also something that's super important, that sometimes we know that it's important and it's there, but sometimes we don't realize how much it actually affects us. So for example, if you are in a toxic, you know, friendship or whatever, those things do affect the way, the quality of our lives. Mm-hmm. So there's all these sorts of dimensions, I guess. And I think from the self-hug, yeah, of course we know that we can't focus on everything, but essentially we just believe that, you know, through collaborations with other companies and brands, like for example, Nona, who I think you guys focus a lot on, you know, the physical, well, through the hormones and everything like that, we can, I guess, take that first step to becoming a more holistically healthy person.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us. And maybe one thing, I think diving straight into it, one of the biggest pillars of wellness is loving yourself, and, you know, having confidence in yourself. Mungkin bisa cerita sedikit tentang your self-love journey. Have you ever felt insecure, and how did you overcome that? How did you start loving yourself more, and what is self-love?
Okay, this is one of my favorite things to talk about. And please, to everyone who's watching, please feel free to share your story, Juga. Like, have you ever felt insecure? Feel free to share your story in the comments. And also, you know, give us some emojis or love hearts or whatever, so that we know that, you know that you're not alone in this journey. Like, pasti, everyone has their own insecurities. And no matter how advanced you are in your self-love journey, pasti there's always something that, oh, ada yang kurang, I feel this, I feel that. So yeah, I just want to say, like, before I share, you're not alone, and hopefully through this IG live you can also see that other people are feel the same way. So essentially my self-love journey was truly a journey. So I guess starting from when I was a kid, I was a pretty confident person who, you know, felt so creative and, like, you know, was so excited about things. But then I think sometimes as people, you know, we get affected by events, right? Triggers. So I think through one of those events, it made me a very sad person and very insecure person. And it made me sort of fall into a depression. It's sometimes very hard to talk about depression and things, because, you know, now it's like a trend, like, oh my God, I'm so depressed. But truly, if you do feel these things, I very much encourage you to not just make a joke out of it, but actually seek help for it. So yeah, that's something that I just want to also get out there. But it took me maybe around 7 years from going from that low space to actually becoming, like, the person that I am today, and feeling a lot more confident in myself, feeling a lot more love for myself. Because back then, let me tell you, I was a very, very different person. I hated who I was. I was very insecure, and just such a bitter person. But then truly, yeah, I did the heart work, you know, the very hard work, but it was very worth it. And I encourage everyone to look past just the self-care aspect of self-love, because self-love is a lot deeper than just, you know, lighting a candle and taking a bath. Mm-hmm. It's a lot deeper than that. It's about asking yourself the really hard questions that sometimes, you know, is a lot easier for us to run away from. Like, for example, do I like myself? If I don't like myself, then why? Yeah. Do I accept myself for who I am? Do I accept my ugly? Do I accept my crazy? Do I accept all of those parts of me? Because period crazy is also different, yeah. Do you also period crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like self-love is more about spending time and asking and answering those questions for yourself rather than just self-care. Self-care is very important and part of self-love, of course, but self-love is more, yeah, it just goes a lot deeper than that.
Do you have any advice for someone who's just about to start their self-love journey? Mungkin, first of all, thank you so much for sharing about your story. I think it's so strong for people to be vulnerable and share their stories. So when one person shares, I think it opens the way for other people to share as well. So I've heard your story before because we've done stuff together with Love Me, Love You, which that also came from your passion to, I guess, push that concept of self-love and self-care. So I think that was such an awesome movement. But tadi ada pertanyaan dari satu viewer yang apa, tanya, how do we start loving ourselves? So at those early stages, if you rewound back to the beginning, maybe when you were still feeling down in the dumps, what kind of helped you to get started to turn the wheel around?
That's a really great question. And I want to preface also by saying that it's different. Like, self-love will look different to everybody, but I can truly say how powerful reflection and journaling was for me. Yeah. Type of person who has so many thoughts happening in my brain in any given moment. So sometimes my brain gets really loud, and sometimes there's a thought that is negative. Like, for example, I suck, or I'm a loser, or I'm not good enough. And that thought will just keep repeating over and over and over again in my head for a whole day or whatever. And sooner or later, I believe that thought. So for me, what was very important was to get those thoughts out of my head and onto paper. And that's how journaling really, really helped me, you know, start my self-love journey. And I know that some people find it hard to write it out, and it's okay, you don't have to write it out. If you're more the type of person who likes to talk it out, then you can record yourself, you can talk to a friend, to a therapist, or whoever. But personally, I like writing things out, because not only do I get to see, you know, when I'm over that moment, I get to look back on it and like see my progress, but it really just helps me to see what I'm thinking. And that's really, really powerful, because when I write down in my, you know, journal, I suck, I think I'm not good enough for doing this, I always do things wrong, why am I like this, when I see that back to my, like, when I see that, I realize, like, oh my gosh, why I'm so mean to myself. Right? And the thing is, like, you would never say those things to your friend, but you say things to yourself. So that's really tough. And please let me know, guys, if you've ever felt that way before. Give me some hearts or something so that I know that, you know. Yeah. But yes, that's why I really enjoy and really recommend journaling or just writing things out, so that you can objectively see what your thoughts are like, and you can see like how mean you've been to yourself, and it's just sad, you know, like, why do you want to be mean to yourself? So yeah.
Do you have any non-negotiables when you're journaling? Because everyone journals a different way. And sebenarnya aku dari dulu-dulu juga selalu pengen mulai journaling. Tadi aku lihat yang join, Samara also joined. And she also was one of the first people we had. And she talks a lot about journaling. And she also has journals. But at that point, I was like, gimana ya start journaling? I'm just not creative. I don't like writing. But I must say, after getting the book from you guys, kayak, it made it so easy, so fun. And I look forward to journaling juga. Karena it's like, one, it's so pretty. It's like such an aesthetic book. And udah dibagi-bagi juga sections of things, prompts to write. Tapi kadang kalau orang-orang mungkin, if they don't have access to a journal, and it's just open free write pages, and mereka kayak blank, blank canvas, don't know what to write. Do you have any advice? You can even take some ideas from what you guys have. Kayak, what are some things that are prompts or things that you put in your journal, or is it just open every day?
So that's a great question. And yeah, it's a question that we, as the self-hug, we get a lot as well, because yeah, a lot of people do find it intimidating to start journaling, and some they have this notion in their head that like, okay, if I start journaling, it's, I have to commit to it, and like I have to do it at a certain time and blah, blah, blah. While those things, yeah, you should, you know, like keep up a habit and things like that. First of all, don't put so much pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
Like the one thing, an obstacle that people, is hard to get over, because they already langsung put a pressure on themselves that I have to
be perfect every day.
That girl, I need to be, you know, that wellness influencer guru. You do not have like that pressure on yourself, okay? Journaling is super personal, and I think for me, if you want to, if this is the first time that you've ever journaled, a guided journal like ours is, yes, we have those prompts, and the thing that is really good about that is that it sort of narrows down your focus, whereas when it's a blank page, you don't know where to start, right?
Yeah.
So guided journals. If you want to just start journaling, you know, maybe you might not have the means to access a guided journal or whatever, get a blank page. It doesn't have to be a pretty notebook or whatever. It can even be on your laptop, and you can just open up a Word doc or a notes on your app. But just ask yourself, how am I feeling right now?
Yeah.
And this is something that rarely gets talked about. A lot of the times, we don't actually say how we feel, the emotion that we feel. We usually say things like, I feel like blah.
Yeah.
I feel like sunshine today. I feel so blah, blah, blah. It's not an emotion. Crap is not an emotion. Sometimes it's really hard for us to just say, like, I feel sad today.
Yeah.
I feel happy today. But actually, there's so much that can be revealed if you dare enough to say how you feel, the emotion that you feel.
Yeah.
So you see that emotion on the page or on your screen or whatever, and you are honest enough with yourself, like, okay, wow, I feel anxious. Then you can start to ask why. Okay, I feel anxious because this and this. Then it sort of lets you see, like, oh yeah, that's why. But then don't just stop there. Ask yourself why again. Why does that matter to you? Why does that deadline matter to you?
Yeah.
If you're anxious, it usually means that that thing matters a lot to you, right? So, like, why does it matter to you? Oh, because you want to progress in your goals, in your work. That's why it matters to me. And that's why I want to do a good job. So then it also reveals a different side of why it matters. And then if you ask why again, it's like, oh yeah, because I want to feel validated. I want to feel recognized. I want to get the praise that I deserve, or the raise that I deserve, or the whatever that I think that I deserve. And then once you get to the raw, real emotion, or like the need, the real need behind that emotion, then you can ask yourself, okay, how do I get there then? How do I get over, not get over, but like, how do I reach that goal?
Yeah.
Or fulfill that need though. So just to recap, if you're facing a blank canvas and you don't know what to write, number one, ask yourself how you're truly feeling, figure out the need behind that feeling, and then make an action plan for yourself. So that's a very powerful thing for you to do. But sometimes it's hard for you to just sit down and just, you know, start doing that, right? Because it's a lot easier to just turn on Netflix and forget that you're even all those things.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or numb it out. So you have to make the choice, like, do you want to or not? Yeah. I mean, of course, we can sit here and say, like, oh, yeah, journaling is great and it works to help you with your self-love. But if you don't care about it enough, if you don't want to do it, then, you know, like, there's not much that we can do, is there? So I think, yeah, again, you just have to understand, like, or just decide that, like, yeah, I want to make a change in my life. And I want to commit to this process,
yeah.
The self-love process. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Those are really helpful tips. And bringing it back to, and Nona, we love to talk about periods and the self-hug, self-love. I think I really want to ask you a bit more about self-love and periods. Jindy, when, do you, I mean, I could share my experience too, but how does your self-love, or how do you feel about yourself change throughout your menstrual cycle? Maybe do you feel a difference throughout your menstrual cycle? Do you feel more insecure? Usually during PMS, everyone deals with more bloating, more hunger cravings. They're groggy, they're moody, they're tired. And times like this when self-love is the most important. Jadi mungkin bisa cerita sedikit terkait how you deal with those feelings, apa yang dilakukan untuk self-love, and how do you support your body during that time of the month?
Love this question, and you know I love talking about PMS as well.
I remember.
Okay, first of all, if you guys get PMS and like get really bad mood swings, please comment in the comment below, because you're not alone. For me, that is my main like symptom of getting period, is like, I truly, it's honestly night and day, and I can prove it to you. Like, I have in my journal. So in my journal, I also write down like when I got my period. For example, if I'm getting my period or whatever, you can see the way that I write about myself is so cruel, very very like not nice. And I don't know, see me, yeah, me, end of period. And I was like,
such a relief.
10 days thing. Yeah. So, because ternyata kayak, yeah, my period really makes me feel more emotional, which makes me want to write more.
Yeah. So that's actually, so I did my hormone coach certification. So one of the things that I got out of that was, kebetulan during your period, the two sides of your brain, the synapses, are much stronger at that point. So sebenarnya during your period, it's actually one of the best times to reflect and journal. Karena emang you'll feel more feels. In Ayurvedic kind of philosophy, mereka juga pikirnya bahwa a period is like a renewal. It's kind of like a new year every year. It's like a new cycle, new moon. And it's such a good time to reflect. So actually, journaling is like the most useful and during this time of your month.
Well, that explains a lot, because I noticed, like, whenever I'm on my period or getting my period, I usually would reach for my journal more because I'm just that much more in tune with, like, but it also sometimes makes me feel a little bit like, whoa, you know, like, oh, my mood swings are pretty crazy. So yeah, I'll talk to you about my hormones later.
Is there anything else that you do to take care of yourself during your period or during PMS besides, of course, journaling?
Yeah, so besides journaling, I really just try to be patient with myself and sort of just accept myself for who I am on my period.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned before, like self-love is all about just accepting who you are, right? Like, do you accept you're crazy? Do you accept the ugly parts of you? Do you accept, you know, the good parts of you and everything like that? It's easy to accept the good parts, but sometimes it's like, ugh, why am I like this? Why do I always be like this? And then you're comparing yourself, you get with other people, like, kok mereka bisa and I cannot. And like, you're just even more hard on yourself. Sometimes I feel when you're on your period, like, at least that's from my experience anyway. And so in those moments, I really just want to, like, I just remind myself that, like, it's okay. It's fine. Like, just take it easy. You're dealing with some pain, like, because I do get cramps as well. Yeah. So, like, yeah, make sure I eat, I drink water, sleep is a huge thing.
Yeah.
And I love to treat myself to just, you know, have a kizzy day. Like,
yes.
Have a kizzy day. Where sort of, yeah, I don't talk to anybody and I'm just, like, with myself. And I listen to my favorite music, watch movies, and just be by myself. I think that's my favorite way of just, like, caring for myself when I'm on my period.
I love that. That's super awesome. And I think we all need to be able to take that time for ourselves, and, like, we don't need to earn it. Sometimes it's so hard for us to allow ourselves to rest. So I really love that kizzy day. I think we all need to take one of those. And maybe before we wrap up, just one more question that I want to ask is advice that you have for our viewers about what they could do or what they could practice to start loving themselves more in the mood for, you know, the self-love, Valentine's kind of theme.
We spoke about it a little bit before, but I just want to reiterate the power of words. So I guess don't forget to say kind words to yourself, and whether you're writing it out in your journal or, like, just mentally saying it to yourself, remember that words can hurt you, but they can also heal you. So be wary and be mindful of the words that you say to yourself, because eventually you will believe those thoughts, right? Like, those words say to yourself, the self-talk that you have, if it's negative, you'll feel that way about yourself. And so it's really hard for you to love yourself from a place of hate, like, when you're in that phase, right? But then something that's amazing is that when you do say positive things about yourself, and when you do, like, write it out or, you know, record yourself and you hear it back, like, those positive affirmations and things, then you'll also believe those positive things too. Like, your brain will also switch the channel to those positive things. So when you're in your self-love journey, those words, it does matter, and it does end up becoming your belief system. So be mindful, and also you can try your best, but at the end of the day, as long as you tried your best, just feel happy. Like, be okay with that. Like, no matter the outcome or whatever. And sometimes you're going to have days where, oh my gosh, I did all my habits, but why do I still feel like crap? Like, why do I still feel bad about myself and things? Just accept it. It's okay. Like, everyone's just trying to do their best. You're doing your best. And so don't put too much pressure on yourself to feel like, oh my God, I'm supposed to be loving myself. I'm supposed to be, no, just take that and just accept, accept yourself. So yeah, I tend to prefer self-compassion as, instead of self-love, because self-compassion, have you heard of self-compassion, like the, what it includes and things like that?
Not really, actually. Tell us a bit more.
Okay. So this is a really it was really helpful for me at least. So maybe after this, if you want to Google it, guys, self-compassion. Mm-hmm. So essentially there's three parts to self-compassion. The first one is to be mindful. So you have to be aware of what's happening in your body, right? And in your mind as well. And that's where journaling and meditation can come into play. Second, you have to be kind to yourself. When you know what's going on with yourself, then you have to be kind to yourself, right? And you have to be non-judgmental. Don't judge yourself. So kindness. But then the third aspect is common humanity. So just the sheer knowingness of, or the sheer understanding that you're not the only one who feels this way, and that everyone's going through their own stuff, is so powerful that it makes you feel like, okay, yeah, it's not just me. Because when we're doing all these self-love things, it can be really easy, right, to always think about yourself, like I feel this, I feel that. But then you forget, oh my God, this is just the human experience. Like, this is what everyone goes through, including Beyonce and Taylor Swift. And I love Taylor Swift, by the way. So just understanding that, I think, can really help relieve some of that pressure, or help you start your self-love journey. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's such a good concept that I haven't heard it much, so I need to look into it. But self-compassion, it's awareness, and then kindness, and then social
common humanity.
I think all of those can really help us even more with this theme of taking care of ourselves and being kind to ourselves. So thank you for sharing that with us, and thank you for all that you've shared about your self-love journey and about the benefits of journaling. And if we want to learn more about you guys, let us know how our followers could find you.
Definitely. So well, thank you so much for having us. We love Nona here. So if you guys are interested in starting your journaling practice, then definitely follow us or check us out on The Self Hug, at The Self Hug. And we are also going to be having a lot of community events, so do join our community through the link in bio on our Instagram page.
All right, thank you so much, Chizzy, and I'll tag you guys in the video as well, so everyone can easily find you.
Thank you so much, Nicole. Thank you so much, everyone. See you.